550 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden and the top four congressional leaders today will discuss the looming government shutdown and his $100 billion request for Ukraine, Israel, and the southern border.
This is going to be one of the first times that the newly minted Speaker Mike Johnson meets with President Biden face-to-face. And when all four of these leaders get in the room, it's anybody's guess what sort of solution they're going to come up with. Because as it comes to the southern border, we're in a bit of a knot. And that knot is affecting our ability to fund all sorts of things, including Ukraine and Israel, other items that are huge priorities for this administration.
ABC's Ale Pekoran. For a third time, U.S. forces hit positions in Yemen that Houthi rebels have been using to launch attacks on Red Sea shipping. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. rejected former Trump official Peter Navarro's bid for a new trial. He was convicted of not cooperating with the House January 6th committee. This is ABC News. Israel still has a ways to go in dismantling Hamas in Gaza. Palestinian militants in southern Gaza unleashed a barrage of rockets, while Israeli forces battled militants in northern Gaza, where entire neighborhoods were pulverized after the Hamas attacks of October 7th. In Washington, continuing demonstrations against Israel.
Pro-Palestinian supporters chanting in protest as U.S. Capitol Police arrested them in a Congressional House office building. They were demanding Israel end its war in Gaza. The White House reaction?
We believe that these lower-intensity operations inside Gaza should be able to not only allow for a reduction in civilian casualties, but a more reliable distribution of aid.
Spokesman John Kirby saying the president continues urging Israel to protect civilians. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
At age 79, Tony Orlando is doing a farewell tour. He'll end his Las Vegas run this weekend before hitting the road one last time. Last concert set for March 22nd in Connecticut. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. What a win! The Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network, locally in Racine, on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. 98Q Country in Park Falls and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night. Pregame at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team! The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Republicans voted to fire another one of Governor Evers' appointees Tuesday, this time Tyler Huebner of the state's Public Service Commission. Evers is appointing Christy Nieto to take his place. Senate Republicans have fired 8 of Evers' appointees since last fall. The keynote speaker at this year's State of Wisconsin Martin Luther King Day celebration says he wants the promise of justice one day to happen now.
It is ridiculous that people are attacking diversity, equity, and inclusion, but refuse to implement laws to remove guns from the hands of those who continue to shoot innocent children in schools and malls and even in faith places.
The Reverend Marcus Allen is a Baptist minister in Madison. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers lose on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers fall to the Nittany Lions at Penn State. Matt LePay.
With 4/10 of a second left, they'll get it in to Baldwin. It's over. Penn State, a 4-point winner here at the Bryce Jordan Center as the students make their way onto the floor here in State College.
The final 87-83, the Badgers got into foul trouble early. Head coach Greg Gard.
4 times we fouled jump shooters, and we hadn't done that in a while. I thought we had
kind of move past that.
So now the Badgers are 13-4. They host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers installing the game plan for Saturday night's game against the 49ers. Sometimes teams go a day early when playing games on the West Coast, but Matt LaFleur declined.
It's something we talked about, but we figured it'd be best to stay in our normal routine. It's a short week anyways, has its own set of challenges, and just felt like it was best for us to stay in as normal as a routine as possible.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory continues into the overnight as we'll see wind chill values between 15 and 20 below zero. Actual air temperature between 0 and 5 below and a mostly cloudy sky. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies developing with our high near 10. Right now, it's 1.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Putenhoff on the board, all coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789 if you want to join the show or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest joining us. He is the president of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors, Mike Ruzicka. Good morning, Mike. How are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane. Good. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we're going to talk some numbers, especially for people who are thinking about selling their house or buying a house. What is the state in the Milwaukee market right now, Mike? How are things going?
It was definitely slow last year. Sales for the year were down 18% from 2022. And, you know, that's it really is indicative of what's going on in the market. We just don't have enough houses to sell. And anybody, especially millennials or younger people looking for a first-time home, anybody looking for a home in that category, they know what I'm talking about because there just are not enough starter homes being listed or built to satisfy the demand. It's really a tight market right now.
And I guess it blows my mind too, Mike. And granted, I'm of an age where my first house was $88,000. But it blows my mind that a starter house now is in the 250s. That's just shocking to me.
Yeah. Actually, I was shocked when I looked at the stats to find out that the average sale price for the four county area for the year topped $400,000 for the first time.
The average? It was 417.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it topped $300,000 just 5 years ago, 4 years ago in 2019. So it's the appreciation has gone up, and it's, I mean, almost exclusively because there are not enough other houses available. It's all strictly supply demand. There just is not enough supply. And what's interesting is some people say, well, okay, we need to build more affordable housing, and which is a great idea, and we definitely need it. But to be honest with you, if we build anything, it would be helpful because a million-dollar house will open up a $500,000 house, which will open up a $200,000 house. So it's that trickle-down that we need. There just is not enough construction going on. So I would really strongly encourage anybody interested in building to consider that because it's a good option.
Sounds like the only version of where trickle-down works.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And do we know, I mean, is it the interest rates, Mike? Is it still a problem with getting building materials? What is the hesitation on the part of builders, do you think?
On the part of builders, there are several items. Labor has been an issue for like 25 years. Materials costs certainly are high. Available land, there aren't many 100 lot subdivisions going up right now. They're all usually 30 to 50. They're still on the smaller side. Developers are still a little bit skittish. They don't want to extend themselves too far out and, you know, be exposed if something, you know, happens again. Although, you know, I've been telling our members since the decade started that this decade is going to be a good one for real estate, just because there's strong demand among millennials and Gen Z are the new home buyers. And that's where the supply, the demand that we need to meet with supply exists the most. But like I said, if we can create anything, but the, you know, land costs, labor costs, those are the main parts of significant reasons why. But on the other hand, existing homes are also expensive. You know, we just topped $400,000 for the average cost. So there's you know, a young couple maybe has one or two kids, wants to buy their first home, or a young couple that just got married wants to buy a home. They're going to be hard pressed to find something they can afford without going over that magic 30% of your income point, where you really don't want to overextend yourself, at least for very long, because then it affects other parts of your life. I remember back in the early 90s when the last time we really had kind of a strong construction boom in demand, a demand side boom, there were a lot of buyers who were buying, their young couples, and they call them dinks, double income, no kids.
Right.
And they were buying houses, but their living rooms were empty because they spent so much money on the house, they didn't have any extra revenue or money to pay for the other items in the house.
Yeah. Go on.
I think there's a similar situation going on now where people, double income couples, are putting a lot of the resources into getting a house, which, to be honest with you, when you look at the math, it's is it better to spend, you know, $20,000 on a mortgage versus a landlord? You'll get that $20,000 back down the road, but it is difficult to, you know, manage on a cash flow basis, on an annual basis.
Mike, my wife and I both bought our first homes ever in 2022 in Kenosha, because in Kenosha, we could come closer to afford what we needed, or I should say wanted, as far as space, than what we could do in Milwaukee. And the process itself, I mean, we got incredibly lucky on so many different levels. Like, first of all, our landlord called us up one day, said, hey, we're not renewing your lease. So we called my mother-in-law. She said, come live with me, save your money. We saved money for 13 months on rent and used that as a down payment. Walked in the door of the house. They said, all of the appliances are included. Like, we feel like our example, I don't like talking about it too much. I mean, I'm happy about it.
Sure.
But there's so many people out there who just the thought of thinking about buying a home makes them sick to their stomach, because it's like, at this point, it's almost a, this isn't meant for me anymore. Like, when you say $400,000 is the average, there are so many people I know who are younger and my age who are just like, yeah, no, I'm going to rent for the rest of my life. And besides what you said earlier about, like, you know, more construction, are there any other options that younger, because the idea of like buying, like, oh, I'm gonna buy my first home for really cheap, and then I'll buy my next house, and then my next house, to get the experience and build the credit and get equity in what those things are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a couple things you can do, and speaking to a realtor can help you, because they can help identify, for example, like houses that maybe are undervalued, yeah, you know, houses that need some work. Putting sweat equity is a great way to find some extra value out of a house. You know, if you look down any street, there's usually one or two properties that maybe somebody's older and ready to move to a different community, or, you know, down south, especially, you know, a day like today. And, you know, a lot of times the properties aren't kept up that well, and so the value isn't there. And so the price they can purchase it for is a little bit below what the neighboring houses are. And then you can put some sweat equity into it and really elevate the value relatively easily with carpeting, paint, landscaping, things like that. Without moving walls, you can increase the value quite a bit and have a really nice place for quite a while.
If you're just joining us, Mike Ruzicka is our guest. He's the president of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors, just talking about the housing market in general, and specifically in Milwaukee and the surrounding counties. Sales are down this year. Home sales through the fourth quarter down 18.6%. December home sales down 10.5%. I'm with Greg, Mike, in that if I were a younger person, and especially for kids who lived and saw their parents lose their house after the crash, not perceiving that home ownership is the ultimate goal, because at least when I was raised, your house is your retirement fund. Mm-hmm. That's a big chunk of your retirement
fund. It's also the American dream.
Right. But I think for what those kids experienced and saw their parents dealing with, they may not want to tie themselves to that.
Yeah, there's no doubt that was a traumatic event. It was, you know, traumatic for just about everybody. You know, I remember 2008, nobody really knew what was going to happen. And every month it just kind of got worse and worse and worse. Like, okay, where's the bottom?
Yeah.
And it took it took 10 years for property values to get back to where they were in 2008. And there are several other factors involved in there too. But a significant part of the downturn was that new construction went down to under 1,000 units for about 3 years after that.
Wow.
And back in the 90s, I kind of look at it as really being a really excellent, stable, good period for housing. And new construction, we're producing about 3,000 to 4,000 units a year of new houses. And so right after the recession, we went down to under 1,000, and we're only back to about 1,500, 1,600 right now. So we're way under 50% of where we need to be. And that's where we kind of get into the whole housing crunch. Right now, our monthly inventory is well under 6 months. We use 6 months as kind of a balanced market where buyers and sellers have the same competitive advantage. Right now, it's been a seller's market for several years, and we're down to like 1 or 2 months of inventory. And that's because we need about 6,000 to 7,000 additional units in the market just to bring us back to that equilibrium level. So if you're selling a house, it's a great time to sell because you'll get top dollar. If you're buying, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, you have to kind of plan well ahead. You know, if you want to buy in 2024, I would call a realtor today and start the planning process. Look at your income. What do you expect your income to be for the year? What you can spend? And really, a good realtor will say, okay, here's your hard line. We're not going to go above this because you don't want to spend more than 30% of your joint income on housing, because like I said, then it's like squeezing a balloon. Then you're starting to, you know, lose it somewhere else.
Yes.
So it's really important to start now in the purchase process.
Well, and I find it interesting also that it sounds, because at one point in time, Mike, it was like everything had to be move-in ready or nobody was going to buy it. Yeah, it was a seller's market, but it's got to be perfect and nobody wants to do any work. And so that seems to be changing a little bit, which is good for someone like me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely true.
I can't stress enough for the listeners what Mike just said as far as if you want to start looking for a house before you even, you know, we all like to go on Zillow, we like to go on Redfin and all those things. That's fun. But if you are serious about buying a house, the first thing you need to do is sit down with a realtor or sit down with your bank and say, what do I need? Because my wife and I, we started looking and we wanted to put offers in, and they're like, yeah, great. Where's your paperwork? I'm like, what paperwork? What are you talking about? So you got to have all your ducks in a row before you could even really start looking. And that includes a lot of paperwork.
Mike Ruzicka is the president of the Greater Milwaukee Associations of Realtors. Thank you so very much for joining us, Mike. It's really been a pleasure. We would love to have you back on, and hopefully we'll have some good housing news.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people in their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
news.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on a pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
More words from men.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us and for listening in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR. And in Hayward, the buzz of the north, WBZH.
Jane, what was that very burly, very handsome, dare I say sexy voiced man doing?
Wasn't that you?
Next question. Is it time for another installment of More Words for Men?
It is.
Oh.
It is time for another installment.
Our almost nominated segment. And because it was never nominated, it's always almost nominated.
There's that.
Dedicated to the fine words of men talking about women in various situations. Today, Jane, what do we got?
Our man is none other than the former number four, former Green Bay Packer quarterback, Brett Favre.
Ah, the picture king.
The Croc King.
The Croc King.
The Croc King. I'm still trying to scrub that from my brain. Legendary quarterback Brett Favre thinks Kansas City Chiefs will turn on Taylor Swift if their beloved team does not make it into the Super Bowl. TMZ asked Favre, 54, if he thinks the pop superstar is a distraction for the tight end. And Favre said, I think it'll be a distraction if they don't make it to the Super Bowl. If they don't win it or get to the Super Bowl, people are going to say she is why.
And I think this shows exactly why Brett Favre doesn't have a full-time job on any network watching football for a living. This man, what are you talking? Like, will they talk about it? Yes, for a moment.
Well, and of course, this always happens.
Yeah.
This happens with every star athlete.
Yeah.
And if they get a high-profile girlfriend, and then she always takes the blame then for their athletic performance going forward.
But I don't think it's going to be such a thing that if they don't go to the Super Bowl, let's just say this. If the Chiefs do not go to the Super Bowl, the fans that do blame her are be a small amount and they will be crazy. Because at this point, not we're used to it, but like, yeah, she goes to the games. Sometimes she doesn't go to the games. They seem to be enjoying each other. That's about it. And any level-headed human being out there should know that her being in the stands does not, because the Chiefs have lost when she was there.
Yep.
They've lost when she was there.
Yes.
So therefore, you know, why are we asking Brett Favre anything? Why is he commenting on anything?
Because he was a superstar. His opinion is still valid.
He did
say that he thinks the Chiefs do have a shot. Quote, until someone proves me otherwise, I think they'll go all the way. Unquote, although he did point out that the Ravens are also playing outstanding ball.
I mean, his old team from, let's see, two teams back is doing pretty good, too. I know a lot of people who 2-3 weeks into the season, they were like, I'm not going to watch the Packers. It's not worth it. They're too young. They're terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Now I got friends of mine who are like rescheduling things because they're like, I want to watch the Packer game tonight. I'm like, oh, now you care because they win. Would you have been a big fan in the 80s then?
70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Long, painful couple decades there when all we did was lose.
Oh, we lost spectacularly. Like in a way that like movies should be written.
It was painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It was painful. The one criticism I did see come out recently about Taylor Swift and the NFL, and I think there's some validity to this. You know, she gets all the attention no matter where she goes. Yeah. And she was in Green Bay not too long ago. Simone Biles is a superstar in her own right. Granted, Simone Biles is a gymnast. She's not a pop star, and she's probably not worth $1.5 billion, which is what Taylor...
1.1
billion dollars for Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But Simone Biles doesn't get nearly the TV time.
No.
And I don't understand why.
Really?
No.
Really?
She's a superstar athlete in her own right.
But that's the thing is that we're not talking about superstar athletes in comparison. We're talking about a pop star versus a woman who is who does an athletic practice that isn't the WNBA or equivalent to football or basketball or baseball. She's a gymnast. I am not in any way, shape, or form saying she's not talented. She's not worthy of a praise or any of the awards she's gotten. But I think that's a pretty difficult comparison to make. If we were saying, oh, Taylor Swift was the winningest swimmer ever and Simone Biles, there's a conversation. But to me, of course, there's no competition or there's no comparison because it's Taylor Swift versus anybody. They're pretty much going to lose with the exception of like Beyonce.
Well, yes. And I think someone pointed that out too. Kevin, what'd you want to say?
I was going to say another factor is Simone Biles' husband is kind of just some guy. Like he's just another player. Travis Kelce was kind of like one of the faces of the league even before he started dating Taylor Swift. So there is a bit of like a stars colliding aspect of it between him and Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and there are other, I'm sure there's other people out there who can make other socio-political reasons why, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But I think at the end of the day, you're talking about a giant pop star versus a gymnast, and both stellarly more talented than I am.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but I mean, I just looked up Simone Biles' worth, and if those websites are anywhere near accurate, She's doing fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she's okay. I'm sure she's okay. All right, we have the news coming up next. When we return, what will you put on your significant other's Green Bay sports bingo card? What reactions do you think you will see over the course of this coming Saturday night's game?
Yeah.
As the game is going on.
Oh, it's on Saturday night?
It's on Saturday night.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. So there's going to be folks who have probably weddings to go to.
Comedy shows.
Other things already scheduled. So, yep, Packers playing Saturday night. But this all came from a woman whose husband is a Dallas Cowboys fan who made up a bingo card for all of his reactions over the course of the game, including... No. Or throw it.
Is there a hearty smack on the forehead?
There is a covering face with hands.
Yep. Oh, I've been there.
I think a hearty smack on the forehead is a good one.
As a Brewers fan, I know hearty smack on the forehead and face and hands very, very well. You take your hat off, you smush it over your face. You're like,
oh, that's another one.
We were leading this whole thing like 38 seconds ago. How did we give up a grand slam? How do we give up two grand slams? I'm sorry, folks. I'm triggered all of a sudden.
Smushing of the hat. That's another one. All right, we're going to take what goes on your significant other's Green Bay Packers bingo card in advance of this Saturday's game. 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden and the top four congressional leaders today will discuss the looming government shutdown and his $100 billion request for Ukraine, Israel, and the southern border.
This is going to be one of the first times that the newly minted Speaker Mike Johnson meets with President Biden face-to-face. And when all four of these leaders get in the room, it's anybody's guess what sort of solution they're going to come up with. Because as it comes to the southern border, we're in a bit of a knot. And that knot is affecting our ability to fund all sorts of things, including Ukraine and Israel, other items that are huge priorities for this administration.
ABC's Ali Pakoran. For a third time, U.S. forces hit positions in Yemen that Houthi rebels have been using to launch attacks on Red Sea shipping. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. rejected former Trump official Peter Navarro's bid for a new trial. He was convicted of not cooperating with the House January 6th committee. This is ABC News.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Democratic law firm is asking the state Supreme Court to reconsider the state's congressional maps. The Elias Law Group filed the case on Tuesday. They say that last month's decision to draw new legislative maps warranted another look at the state's congressional maps. Republicans currently hold six of the state's congressional seats. The court will have to move fast with just 11 months to go before the November election. Marshfield Clinic workers across Wisconsin are being furloughed. 3% of the nearly 12,000 people who work for the healthcare system have to take unpaid time off. The furloughs come after a round of budget cuts in November and after talks about a merger with Essentia Health fell through last week. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Murphy in the morning, Mino and Tammy.
We have keys for you. A key to the city and a key to our studio. It's presented to Jim Murphy in the morning. You are key to our community, Mino and the Mayor. So that is for you.
Okay, can I be honest on one thing?
Yeah.
It's not really a key to our office. It's just an extra key he had laying around, but he's going to say it was.
It's a thought that counts.
Absolutely.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory continues into the overnight as we'll see wind chill values between 15 and 20 below zero, actual air temperature between zero and five below, and a mostly cloudy sky. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies developing with our high near 10. Right now, it's one.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Looking at issues through a politically purple lens. The Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim. Thursday nights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Monday nights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or leave a message on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. A little housekeeping. We were just talking about Simone Biles not getting as much TV time as Taylor Swift and why that might be when they're at games.
Yeah.
And we had a comment from Scott McClellan, who is watching on the live stream. Simone has a more niche celebrity status. People who follow gymnasts versus Taylor Swift, who's known internationally, whether or not you enjoy her music. And that's certainly a very valid point.
But let me tell you something. Don't sleep on Simone Biles.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's amazing. She's talented. She's and she seems like one of the nicest people. When her husband got picked by the Green Bay.
Yep.
She was like, I'm all in. I'm a Green Bay gal. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be hanging out, having fun, talking to fans, smiling, being just a great
that cheerleader,
great energy to the team and to the fans. And she goes down to the field, shakes hands, takes pictures. I adore her.
Yep. She's terrific. Okay. I saw this yesterday. This came across my Twitter feed, and I think this is hilarious. A woman who is married to a Dallas Cowboys fan decided to make a bingo card of her husband's reaction as he watches Dallas play. So in the middle of her bingo card, she has the Dallas Star logo. And then some of the boxes include crosses arms, shouts, let's go, let's go, let's go. First down gesture. Why? Quiet clapping. Head hit. And more. And as she crosses them off, she films the whole thing as he's watching the game.
Yeah.
And she crosses them off one by one. And once she gets a bingo, she takes a drink.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, she's probably been drunk most of the season.
So what is on your Packers bingo card or your significant other's Packers bingo card before this Saturday's game between the Packers and the 49ers? What are the reactions that you are going to look for as you're watching the game with your sweetie?
I mean, if you're asking me here's the thing is watching sports with my wife is very fun because she just wants everyone to do a good job.
Oh, that's so sweet.
She claps for both teams.
Oh, that's so sweet.
She will take sides eventually. When we went to go see a Hawks game in Atlanta last week, she, at the end of the game, she was all Hawks.
Oh, really?
But she's always like, good job. If you're talking to me about mine, it's going to be, there'll be a lot of come ons, like, come on.
Okay.
There'll be, not fist pumping, but like if you're watching a live stream, score a touchdown, you're like, yeah, like, you
like
know,
a,
just
like a flexish,
like a flex, like a flex, like, just, oh yeah.
Okay.
And also like, your garden variety, what's going on here? What's happening? You know,
she has that on here. What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. What are we? Oh, yeah. I'll change mine too. What are we even doing right now? That's what I would say, because that's what I say when the Brewers are truly frustrating me. What are we even doing right now? Are you a minor league team that just happened to get lucky today?
Calvin, do you have any phrases?
I don't have any that would be FCC appropriate.
I see. We prefer to keep them a little clean.
I tend to let it fly a little bit when I'm getting frustrated at sports. I will say I have a more visceral reaction to Bucks games than I do Packers games. The Bucks frustrate me much more than the Packers tend to do.
Interesting.
The thing is, I almost said to myself, you know what? I don't think I've ever heard Calvin get upset. But then I do remember sometimes there are callers who call. And he and Calvin does, because Calvin can't be heard in the booth and his microphone is off. I hear what he's truly thinking. And wow, I would love to go to a Bucks game or just watch Calvin, like, listen to him mic'd up.
We're taking your calls on what is on your or your spouse's significant other's Packers bingo card, inspired by this woman from Dallas whose husband is a Dallas fan. She makes an entire bingo card of all of his reactions as the game goes on, including head down, eyes closed, knee slapping.
Oh.
Drop to knees.
Oh, dramatic.
And goes for a walk down the hallway.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah. I can. There's been plenty of Brewers games I've watched if I'm watching it at home where you just have to get up and do something. Like, I can't watch this show.
I have to get away from it. It's too painful.
Was there anything on there of like, you know, they score a goal, they score a touchdown. Are they going to be like, yes, or those are my boys, or Cowboy Nation, or I don't know.
She's got a fist clap.
Fist clap.
Fist clap. Flexes.
That's right here. Like, right there.
Hands out. Confused. What again? It goes back to the what are we doing?
I mean, I'm sure there's more negative than good because he's a Cowboy fans and they suck. But I mean, the point is
throwing a flag gesture.
I just imagine he has one in his pocket. He just like tucked it. He's got his own just like flag on the plane. Like no one asked you, bro.
Not to embarrass anyone.
Oh, this is. But
no. I just think we all do this to some extent.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the other question I will pose to people listening: if it's not the Packers or the Brewers or even the Bucks, what is your thing? What is the thing that you watch? Is it Formula One racing? Is it gymnastics? Is it something that's not even sports related, but when you watch it, you're in it and you're like, what's going on? Look, Westminster Dog Show. You know, I want to know, like, that to me is way more interesting because, like, Packers, yeah, I get that. But I want to, like, you know, when I watch MasterChef, oh, I get fired
it's
up.
Crazy.
Yeah, I get did that baking show from England. Oh, they make me so mad.
I love the Great British.
What? Okay, so what would be on your card?
That's impossible. What are you new at this?
Oh, man. That's
another one from this woman's Dallas football bingo card for her husband. Goes in bedroom and lies down.
Yeah. That's. I've never. Anytime the Brewers are breaking my heart, I'm always live. I'm always there, so I can't go lay down anywhere.
You can't escape it.
No, I've been there for some pretty, awful moments, just giving up run after run. But yeah, I get that. I get that.
I like yours. I think we need to add the crushes hat over face.
Oh yeah, you got the backwards cap, and you just like pull it down. You just crush it over your face, and you're like, oh God, what? And then you just. Build the anger, and you give into the hatred, and then you are part of the dark side.
Oh, my goodness. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. What is on your significant other's or even on your Packers playoff bingo card?
Yeah.
Saturday's big game between the Packers and the 49ers. I know that's going to screw things up, as we mentioned, for some people. I'm sure there are weddings. That's always an issue. I'm sure that there are probably other kids' sporting events over the weekend that are gonna clash and collide with this.
Maybe there's a small business owner in the room who needs you to come to his place to survive. Laughing Tap. We have shows on Saturday night.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Two shows?
There'll be two shows this weekend. One show Friday, two shows Saturday. Jessica Michelle Singleton, who is absolutely she's like so tiny. She's like 4 foot. I don't know. She's tiny, but she is so energetic, so much fire, and so funny.
What kind of comedy does she do?
I would say it's very observational. It can get a little rude. She swears, but nothing where I would ever be like, I'm a oh, this isn't my
that
jam.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But she is just absolutely hilarious, and she's always the funniest person in the room. She's just. Full of fire and awesomeness. And, you know, you could DVR the game and watch it on Sunday.
That's an option.
When the day the Lord gave us to watch the footballs.
Is that what the day is for?
Yes. It's in the Bible. I'll go look now.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Get back to me when you find it.
Yeah, I don't know. What is so for you, the is there a non-sports or non-mainstream sport that gets you riled up and crazy?
I just don't get that emotionally invested.
I mean, you were pretty upset that Ted Lasso didn't win an Emmy.
That made me upset. Yes.
I mean, you're watching the Emmys going, come on!
Well, I was. It's like, oh.
Oh.
Just a depressed squeak. It's like, come on.
So womp could womp.
I had the sads.
That's fine.
But I've told this story before. I dated a guy for a while who would go lie down after the Bears lost. He would have to go lie down. It's like, honey, do you think they care about your job? Do you think that when you have a bad day at work, their quarterback has to go lay down because it was terrible?
That's how I am with like the Brewers. Like, for me personally, if we lose, we lose and I'm bummed. In about 20 to 25 minutes, I'm fine.
I gotta move on.
I got other things to do. If they were paying my bills, I'd be much more upset about things. But, you know, they're not. And it's a bummer. You want to see them do well. But, you know, you've got other things to accomplish in life, friends.
Calvin, does anybody else in your household get upset?
Oh, my brother might have worse issues than I do when it comes to getting angry at the game. My mom's easily excitable. She doesn't get angry, but she squeals when good things happen.
I'm sure your mother is delighted that you decided to share that.
And you said that your mom has gotten more into football, too, since Taylor Swift and...
Well, she's always liked the Packers, but now she watches the Chiefs and the Eagles as well.
Why the Eagles?
Because Travis Kelce's brother plays for the Eagles.
Right. Yeah. Although he just announced that he is going to, I think he's going to retire at the end of this season.
I wouldn't surprise me. They just lost last night, so.
Yeah, he's 36, and I think I saw that coming around one of my feeds that.
I just want to say I'm a 46-year-old man. It's been a good run for me. I'm just going to retire. From what you ask?
Wouldn't that be nice if that were an option for the average among us?
I mean, someone said to me recently, they're like, so what are you going to do like when you retire? Because, I mean, I'm not near retirement age, but I'm nearer to retirement age than I was even a year ago. And someone just asked me, they said, what are you going to do when you retire? I'm like, what, when I'm 80? Because that's when I get to retire.
And retirement is not something that works for everyone either.
No.
It's not. There are some people who retire and are very, very unhappy because they miss the structure and they miss the interaction and they miss, you know, the doing.
Yeah. I mean, my mom, she, I think, lasted all of a month of pure retirement.
Seriously.
Yeah. Pure retirement of just like no job. Now she has a part-time job. She's got herself a fun companion.
She's how old?
She's 79. She's got friends she hangs out with. So retirement is what you make of it, and it's you design it how you want it to be. And a lot of times people, you know, the thing is you retire at 65. Some people are living for like 25, 30 years. So, I mean,
it's a lot to consider.
Exactly. So welcome to Retirement Talk with Jane and Greg, two people who won't be retiring anytime soon.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Stay close. Coming up, we missed this and we have some housekeeping to do. We were talking about the Emmys last night, and there are some Wisconsin ties to some of these Emmy wins, and we will share those with you when we return. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You said you loved me, or were you just being kind? Or am I losing my mind? Or were you just being losing my mind, losing my mind, losing my mind.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Buck, along with Kelvin Butenhoff on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Shoot us a text. Give us a call at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or leave a message on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. The Primetime Emmy Awards were last night. They were supposed to air in September, but they got pushed back because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike, and we did talk about this a little bit earlier in the show, but we wanted to give a shout-out to the Emmy winners with Wisconsin connections.
Heck yeah.
We got some cheese connections.
Yes.
That we want to shout out.
3 degrees of cheese.
3 degrees of cheese,
I exactly. I heard about this.
We're going to work on that.
Yeah.
So the big winners last night were Succession, which took away 6 Emmys, including Best Drama. The Bear also got 6, including for Best Comedy. Beef, a Netflix comedy, won 5 Emmys in a limited or anthology series category. So where do our Wisconsin connections come in? Milwaukee native Rachel Brosnahan, who was born here but was essentially raised outside of Chicago.
Still us. Still ours.
Still ours. We'll claim her.
Yep.
She had been nominated for lead in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is it's pretty great. It really is. But she lost to Abbott Elementary's Quinta Brunson, who got her 2nd Emmy Award, her first for acting. Also, Judith Light, who I watched on, it was either General Hospital.
Or Who's the Boss.
Or Days of Our Lives, but she was on a soap opera long before she did Who's the Boss.
I didn't know that.
And long before that, she started with the Milwaukee Rep.
Oh!
She used to perform with the Milwaukee Rep.
That's super cool.
So she won an Emmy for Outstanding Guest Actress for appearing on Peacock's Poker Face.
It's a great show.
Is that with Natasha Lyonne?
Yes.
And where is that streaming?
You just said it.
On Poker? Oh, on Peacock.
There it is.
It's on Peacock. Natasha Lyonne's really very talented.
Oh my gosh, yes. That show and Russian Doll that came out on Netflix.
Russian Doll was great.
Yep. Yeah.
Russian Doll was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Lighting designer Noah Mitz, who is a Milwaukee native, went to Nicolet High School, got his 2nd Emmy of the part of a team that won for Outstanding Lighting Design and Direction for Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, so fancy.
He got his first Emmy in 2022, nominated for 4 in 2 categories this year. He has been nominated 27 times over the course of his career.
Then
nonfiction and reality producer Chris Smith studied filmmaking at UW-Milwaukee, broke through with that documentary he made a number of years ago called American Movie. Mm-hmm. He won his first Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Cinematography for the docuseries 100 Foot Wave. And I have been watching that. I believe it's on Netflix. I might have gotten that wrong. But following this surfer in particular, and they're looking for the biggest wave in the world to surf. And the visuals are astonishing.
Yeah.
Seriously. And you can't really appreciate how big these waves are
yeah.
until you get that little teeny tiny person on a little teeny tiny surfboard.
Itty bitty.
Itty bitty at the bottom of that wave.
Yeah.
To appreciate just how dangerous that is.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then Texter listening here on WAUK from the 262. The executive producer from the first season of The Bear is from Pewaukee.
Name is Nate Matson.
Nate
Matson. Well, congratulations.
Absolutely.
To all those who won, who had connections to Wisconsin, to all those who won, period, because you are the truly talented. I am nothing compared to you. Nothing compares to you.
Thank you, Sinead.
Thank you, Prince. I know she didn't win, and I don't think she was, but she may have been at the Emmys, but the newest connection to Wisconsin is the lead on the TV show Echo.
That's right.
Yeah. Her name is Alakwa Cox, and she is she's part of the Menominee tribe.
Yep.
And she is from right here in Wisconsin. And like I said before earlier in the show, I thought Echo was very fun, very action packed. The fight scenes are great.
And it's not something that you have to watch a prequel of.
No, you don't have to. I will say this. If you watch the show Hawkeye, which I thought was fun as well, you'll get everything you need because there are some mentions to that TV show where she originated in. But they do a pretty good job in the first 25 minutes of the first episode wrapping that up.
Okay.
But yeah, if you and the fight scenes are great and at the end of the series, they even thank the nation that they worked with to make sure that, because it's based in Native American culture, they got so, like, paying very close respect to it and making sure it was very, very
accurate.
Accurate, yeah. So it's a good show. I enjoyed it a lot.
Luke and I did talk about that when he was here filling in for a couple of days. He did mention that there is a fair amount of violence. So if you have very small children, if you have very small kids, you may want to pre-watch that. And just decide for yourself if your kids are ready for that.
And every episode has a thing on there that says this is for mature audiences.
Oh, it does.
So yeah, this is not, you're not watching a Spider-Man movie. This is very,
it's a little more, it's going to be more intense than
real
that.
Life, gritty violence.
Okay. Thank you so very much for joining us today. We really appreciate
you're welcome.
Calling,
I had nothing else to do today.
And
so
texting and listening. We now have an email address.
What?
Yes, we have an email address. If you want to reach out, you have a suggestion for a guest you would like to hear on the show.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions, anything in your local community that you would like us to highlight?
Be nice about it.
Send us an email, MattNairOnAir, all one word, MattNairOnAir at civicmedia.us.
Spell the name.
MattEnAer.
There you go.
MattEnAer. A-E-R on air. Matt Nair on air.
I can't believe it. We have an email address.
We have
a Facebook page.
We're almost completely official now. I know.
We have a Facebook page where you'll be able to watch. If you'd like the live stream, you can live stream it from the Matt Nair on air Facebook page. And soon to follow will be the other social medias. But we do have a Facebook page. Go like that page. Go check it out. We'll be putting stuff on there, like pictures and polls and things like that.
Absolutely.
We have some fun. Be nice, as always. Don't be a jerk about things, because then we'll just block you, because we do that sort of stuff, because I'm petty.
Well, no. If all you have is insults, then you have no argument. That is my ultimate.
I love that.
Sorry.
I love that.
Stay close. The news is next, followed by the Todd Allbach Show. You're going to love it. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a good day.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, WGBW.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard.